All right, if you're a little tiny one, you could go to the nursery now. This has been a tough week around the church. It's been so tough that I haven't even come up with a fun title for my sermon, because we were spending the week in the Monday and getting to hear the news that Pat was very sick. You go to the hospital and seeing that she was very sick, and then she was gone. And then we got to plan a funeral. I got to celebrate a life and mourn the loss of someone who is so dear and joyous. I said at the funeral, I kept saying it, like someone who's like who laughs like Pat laughed at things, like seems far too young at heart to die. And even so, it was a hard week, it was a good week, that we can face difficult things with the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the fact that on the day that you die, 7 billion people in the world's opinion about you does not matter. The only opinion that matters is that of our Father in heaven, and that we have hope because Pat put her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And faith is what we're going to talk about today, and faith is the subject of our text, and we really need to think about faith, because faith really matters, especially, you have a hard week, like faith really matters. And ultimately, on the day that you pass beyond the veil of this life, faith really matters. So faith, what is it? Can we get more? Now, start thinking about faith, and there's a chapter in the Bible, Hebrews 11. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So obviously, like, you have to have, and I think the author of Hebrews here is arguing, making an argument from the lesser to the greater. And so this is like the least possible aspect of faith, and then he's going to build up to the fullness of faith. The least possible thing about faith is that you need to believe God exists in order to please him. And so it's a little like fishing. It's like you need to believe that there are going to be fish in the pond before you go fish. In fact, when I was a kid, this was like the greatest thing. So there was this little pond. It was about a mile from my house. Half a mile, we could bike there. So my brother and I would get our fishing poles, and we would go, and we would bike there. And it was just this like kind of shallow pond. It was almost, Saskatchewan might call it a lake. And you look, and you could actually see the smallmouth bass. And so you just throw your line, like, bite over there. And so it's a little easy to believe when you can see it. But we must also believe, not just that like God is there, but that he actually rewards those who seek him. And there's a lot of people out there who have this concept of God, which is, okay, God's out there, and he's just sort of there when I need him. And I'm just going to like throw up a prayer when I'm desperate. But when you actually see like the real God who rewards those who seek him and gives just punishment to those who do evil, the calculus changes a lot. And so if you're going to come to God, you need to believe he exists. And you need to believe that there is some good that's going to come by seeking him. A little bit like the fishing analogy, you need to think, this fish, I'm throwing a line out there, not only is there, but also is good for something, either for the catching or the eating, hopefully both in the fish. Now, as I said, this describes the barest essence of faith, and it's a little like believing God exists and he rewards him. This is a little bit like the Pascal's wager of faith. And there's something there, like it's true. Now, Pascal's wager, man. I was like, I almost caught it and then I didn't. I was like, amazing catch. And like, no. Pascal's wager is this idea. So Pascal, Blaise Pascal, he was a philosopher. And he said, you know, you should really believe that God exists, because if he does, the rewards are really awesome. And if he doesn't, well, you know, you haven't lost much in life. Now, faith is a good bet to avoid the regret of hell. But when you consider what you get, there is far more to faith. So the beginning of faith is just sort of this idea that we need to believe in something and that good rewards may follow. But the fullest picture of faith gets to even more. So the Westminster Shorter Catechism gives a definition of faith. And this is what we'll start with, because it's a good definition, but we need to flesh it out more. Faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace. Now, it's going to say it's a saving grace because it is essentially, there is a gift portion to it. It's ultimately from God, whereby we receive and rest upon him, that is Christ, alone for salvation, as he is offered to us in the gospel. And so this thing about faith, this is how we are saved, and we see this all throughout the Bible. We're going to think like Galatians 2:16. Yet we know that a person is not justified, made right with God by works of the law, doing all the right things, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And so we know the only way to be saved, the necessary thing, is to have faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is like the key that opens our hearts to Jesus. And outside of this faith, no one will be saved. Now, this leads us to three questions. We're going to answer them the rest of the sermon. One, what does faith look like? Can you describe it? And this gets to the, you know, we like pull up this definition of faith. You can look at definitions of the faith in the Bible rarely gives us a glossary of terms. What it actually does is it gives us stories that show us what this thing is. Like, there's a story, the narrative being made alive by God's presence shows us this. And this is what we're going to investigate faith by, looking at the story. What is the essential quality of faith? Like, how can you like get your fingers on it to wrap it around in your head? And lastly, and this might be important for some of you, it's definitely important for me. If I have these nagging doubts, do I still have faith? The first thing we need to see, and we're going to walk through Luke's gospel here, is that consistently, faith is in the power and person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we come in the beginning of Luke, and there's this scene where these guys are going and they're cutting open the roof and letting the man down for Jesus to heal him. And Jesus, when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." Now, their faith was ultimately that if they could just get their friend to Jesus, he had the power in his person to do what was needed. We come to the centurion, the Gentile, the soldier. And the soldier has the sick servant, and he's telling Jesus, like, you don't even need to come under my roof. I am not worthy, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And in this, he's not looking at Jesus like this medicine man, and he's, you know, do the little healing dance or whatever they do. I don't know. But someone having the power of God to command by his word this servant to be healed. And Jesus says, 7:9, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. Now his faith was in that Jesus Christ in his person had the power to do what was needed to save his servant. Faith is in the person and power of Jesus. We haven't gotten there yet, but we're going to. And there's a beautiful scene right before Jesus rolls into Jerusalem, a blind man beside the road who's crying out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And in that word, he knows he is looking to Jesus, not just as a healer, but as a son of David, the Messiah who has the power to heal him. And Jesus said, recover your sight, your faith has made you well. His faith that cried out to the person of Jesus Christ, specifically as the Messiah, who had the power to do what was necessary to save him from his plight. Now, in all of these, and we walk through the book of Luke, and we see people who are, in many ways, like, defective in some way. We see the outcast woman. We see the Gentile. We see the paralytic man. We see the blind man. All of these outcasts who don't have this power in themselves. All they do is reach out to the person they believe has the power in his person to do what is needed. And in these people, we see faith. The blind beggar, the man who's literally like lying and can't do anything, needs his friends to carry him. And in all of these acts, we see this picture of faith, this longing for the one who has the power, Jesus Christ himself. Faith isn't some abstract, like believing in something. It's not a quality of themselves, but the fact that they're just reaching out their hand to the one who has the power. Get back to the definition in the Westminster. Faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace whereupon we receive and rest upon him alone for salvation. And I love this. I love this idea of faith as receiving. And so this is like Jesus' power that we receive. And it's also a resting. And we get this idea of faith as this person who's going to be like Indiana Jones walking on the thing. Like, I know that I can do it. Like, it's something in ourselves when merely it is the receiving of what Jesus has and resting upon that. It's almost, you could call it kind of the faith is a little feeble. It's like thinking of like the blind man, like this great faith. Like, what is he going to do? He's got no other choice. He's got nothing. But this feeble faith that attaches to the all-powerful God is the faith that's consistently held up as we go through the gospel. Now, this faith is not just believing in something. This is an idea, like we are not called to be people who just believe in whatever thing, you know? The latest, like, if you use like Pat as an example, because she was kind of like, she could always be like tricked into like things. Like, we're not supposed to be people who get tricked into things. Like we're not supposed to be patsies. What we are supposed to do is believe in the power and person of the Lord Jesus Christ, him himself. Jesus is the one, the object of our faith. That is the one we believe in. Getting back to the fishing analogy, that we aren't just throwing our line out, hoping for something. It's not just the prayer like, oh, Lord, save me. But we are throwing the line up specifically to Jesus Christ, knowing that he alone is faithful to do all that he promised. So what does faith look like? And here, we continue with our walk from Luke because we get this, we just get stories. Just stories about what faith looks like. And there's two stories here, and they both kind of have different views of faith. And I think both of them are very instructive. The first is Luke 7:50. This is the story of the woman. And there's a woman from the city, a sinner, and she learned that Jesus was at the Pharisee's house. She goes, she brings her alabaster flask of ointment, stands behind his feet weeping, wets his feet with her tears, dries them with her hair, kisses his feet. And in this faith, and we see this faith that you can see it, you can see it by what she does. And so what she is doing is giving her best to Jesus. And we see this kind of faith. And we talk about, you know, James and their faith without works is dead. And so faith is something that you can see by what people do. But don't confuse it, because as soon as Luke is showing us this woman who's showing her faith in there, it says, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Just a chapter later, we get another woman who, you know, maybe I call it have this feeble faith. It's the woman with the flow of blood. Jesus is in the crowd going to heal another person. And she's just like pushing through the crowd and just like reaches out and just touches the hem of his garment. And this beautiful picture of Jesus doesn't contact her uncleanliness, but Jesus' perfect holiness makes her whole in that instant. And again, we see, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And so in this, like, we can see something of the fact that, yeah, faith, when we see it in our lives, we see it's going to make a difference. It's going to change. It's going to be giving our best up like the woman with the alabaster flask. But the kernel of faith is still present in this woman who does not even have the boldness to say, hey, Jesus, could you heal me, please? But just touches the hem of his garment. This woman's faith is held up, who has nothing but just to reach out from the back and reach out to Jesus, because in Jesus is the power, not in herself. Her faith is just reaching in the right place. Now, sometimes we think of faith in, like, there's a problem with the word faith in the English language. Because we often use the word faith to refer to an irrational decision to believe something in spite of good evidence. And that's not quite what the Bible is talking about with faith. Like, it's not an irrational decision to believe something with no evidence. It's not like, I just believe the Rough Riders are going to be their year this year. Like, they're going to beat the Blue Bombers this time. But that is, like, that's, they're putting their faith in the wrong place. Not that, like, I roll with the Rough Riders and all Rough Riders. Boo, boo to the Blue Bombers. We don't like them at all. Until I get across the border at 2 o'clock today. Maybe I'll change my mind. You swim in the sea, you find yourself in. Well, Hebrews tells us faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And if we kind of implant our kind of our view of like believing in irrational things as faith onto this, we can get led astray, because I don't think this is what it's talking about. Because obviously, like, they're hoping for something they don't see, but they have good reason to hope for it. They have hope for it. Abraham, he's held up as a symbol of faith. God told him to go. And so he had good reason to go because God's word told him to go. And in the same way, like, our faith isn't just this out there hoping. We have God's word that tells us these things. We have other believers who have experienced these things. We have things that have happened in our life that externally confirm these things. So it's not just throwing it out into nothing. It's not just this illogical hope in something, but it's a well-founded hope in something that we have not yet seen the fullness of. The Bible isn't speaking of faith as irrational trust, but merely trust in things that are beyond what is seen. And by the way, everybody trusts in things they don't see. It's like, do you see love? Like, do you see atomic energy? Like all of these things aren't seen. And yet, you need to trust in it. The firm confidence we get, and that's, you know, we get to Hebrews, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And it's this assurance and conviction that we are going to act upon something that we don't see yet with the hope that we will see the fullness of it. Now, I think, and this is when we talk about faith, is that probably the better word is, so you have faith and believing, and they're the same word in Greek, actually. So faith is the noun, believing is the verb, and they get translated with different roots in English, which is makes it confusing, but the same word. And both of those words have some drawbacks to them, because believing kind of just sort of like mentally assent to this, which is what it's talking about either. I really like, when we think about the word faith, to use the word trust, because we know what it means to trust someone. Like, I know what it means when I sit back in like our men's group and I can share what's going on in my life, because I trust those guys. I trust them to keep confidence and to be there for me. I know what it means when I ask Randy to come be here to do sound, like, I trust he's going to be here because I trust him to do what he said. And in the same way, like, faith is really, this is a trust that God will do all that he promised. He will do all that he promised. This is what faith means. It's an assurance and a trust that God will do all that he promised. And now, you can turn in your Bibles, if you're not already there, to our text of the day. I got to our text 25 minutes into the sermon. Luke chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. The apostles said to the Lord. It's interesting that it's apostles here. You don't normally get that. The Lord is obviously Jesus. Increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Well, the first question we should ask here is, why do they want more faith? Why do they want more faith? Now, it's obvious they feel some lack in their life. Like, if they only had this thing, this faith, maybe like the people from the old Bible that they saw, if they had this thing, then they would be more whole. They would be what they were called to be, maybe as apostles sent out by God. They must have seen, they're paying attention, how faith is an essential element in God's most mighty acts. You see, this amazing thing is happening. People have faith. And so maybe what they need is just a little bit more. Now, maybe their worry about lack of faith was well-grounded, as the events toward the end of Jesus' life are going to show us, as they maybe don't have faith like they should. But Jesus takes this question, look, give us more, just give us this, like, more faith. And Jesus says, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed. Now, mustard seed, smallest thing that you could, like, reasonably point to in the ancient world. They didn't have microscopes. And so when Jesus wants to say something that is as small as anything you could imagine, he uses mustard seed. Kingdom of heaven, like a mustard seed, gonna grow. Faith, just like a mustard seed, would be enough to say to this mulberry tree, and I assume they're standing beside a mulberry tree. I should have had a picture of it. Mulberry trees have these big roots, and they almost grow out of the ground. They look like this in the type of mulberry tree they're talking about. These giant roots, they grow for 600 years. And so you look at this thing, you see how well-bounded it is, how it stood up against every storm and trial for 600 years, the most solid thing that Jesus could readily point to. But if you just had this little mustard seed of faith, you could say, mulberry tree, be uprooted. And then, like one of the Ents from Lord of the Rings, it would like, and it would talk really slow if it was talking to, I imagine you got a walking tree, you got a talking tree. I'm sure of it. Can't prove it from the Bible, but this is an Ent. And it walks and it goes right into the Mediterranean Sea, and it just in the middle of the water just like plants itself down and like, here I am. Don't mess with me. Now, Jesus' point here, I think, has to be that their question is wrong. There's something wrong about that. See, Lord, like, give us more faith. Because Jesus says, if you had even the smallest bit of faith that you could possibly imagine, you could do the most amazing thing that you could picture in your mind, like walking trees. That is what could happen with the smallest bit of faith. And it gets to the point is that even the smallest bit of faith can do impossible things when it's placed in the right person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, Randy, can you take the light and put it all the way off just for a sec? All the way off? All right, now put it back on. Thanks. I trust Randy to do these things. Now, we didn't see this, but what happened as Randy turned on the light? In Cornack, Saskatchewan, there are miners who take coal out of the ground. And it gets refined up in refined coal, and it goes over to a power plant where it gets burned. Mike could explain this better than me. Where it gets burned, turns a turbine, which produces electricity, which goes into a transformer, which goes into the grid, which goes all around, and some of those electrons might be around and spitting through there into that light, and boom. And so a coal miner and all of the, you know, dark forces of Sask Power align to make the lights go on. No, all we did was just flick it. I didn't even have to flick a switch. I got Randy to flick a switch. Well, faith is like this. Faith isn't getting the whole power plant. It is the flick of the switch which unleashes the guy shoveling coal and Cornack all the way to here, to like all of this power. In the same way, we flick the switch of faith, unleashes God's almighty power into our lives to do all that he promised to do. Faith unleashes the power of God into our lives to do all that he promised to do. And what the disciples are missing, they're missing the fact, they think, if only I had a little more faith. And Jesus immediately turns it around, because you're looking in the wrong place. Because any amount of faith is enough to do amazing things. Because the miracle of faith is not in ourselves, but in God Almighty. And if we walk around asking, like, how can I get a little more faith? We're looking in the wrong place. Because the power is in the object of our faith, not in the amount of our faith. And so we can have the kind of feeble faith of the characters in Luke that we see, just reaching out for Jesus, knowing that he has the power to do all that he has promised in our life. All of this, in order to grow our faith, if we want to do it, the key isn't how can I do X, Y, Z, but it's taking our eyes off ourselves and filling our gaze up with the gaze of Christ more and more, because he is the power and not us. So what does faith look like? Well, faith looks like it's the stories that we've been told. This woman just reaching out to Jesus. This woman who's like giving her all to Jesus. Like all of this pictures of faith in God's word as we read the story. What's its essential quality? The essential quality of faith is putting our trust in the power and person of the Lord Jesus Christ to do all that he said that he would do for us. And if you have lots of doubts, can you still have faith? And the answer is, don't spend your life rooting out doubt. Don't spend your life like, you know, reading books like How to Get More Faith. Spend your life looking at Jesus Christ, where he's found in the body of Christ, in the word of God. Look at him, because even the feeblest of faith unlocks the key to the most powerful force in the galaxy, God himself. Let's pray.